Wait, so this is my interview with the Speaker of the Assembly, Mitchell McLaughlin MLA. Just first off, Mr. Speaker, you're giving a St. Patrick's Day address today. Just what does St. Patrick's Day mean to you, and why do you think it's so important that we commemorate it in the Assembly?
Well, obviously, living in the north and working in this Assembly, there are a number of days in the year which have a particular significance for either one section of the community and perhaps its impact on other sections of the community. And in the past, instead of being kind of opportunities for common enjoyment, they quite often were controversial. But I think that just to take the decision that the Commission did in recognising International Women's Day, St. Patrick's Day, the 12th of July, and Remembrance Day, to reflect the new lighting scheme for the Assembly, was in itself a demonstration of respect, and I think actually argues for mutual kind of recognition that certain anniversaries, certain dates in the calendar have a particular resonance within one community. But the question is, well, does that do any harm to people that it doesn't? In my view, it doesn't. Yeah. So it might actually encourage people to start to kind of look at these events, not through from their own, as I describe it, their own comfort zone.
Yeah.
And have inwardly kind of looking events. But they actually start to look outwards as well and maybe consider, what is the impact and how is this understood or seen by others.
Yeah, and how important is it, because obviously you talk a wee bit about this in your remarks, how important is it for you that events like St. Patrick's Day become that have that sense of inclusivity about them?
Well, I mean, I've indicated just that St. Patrick's Day is only one of a number of days that will be marked in an agreed fashion. So that really has to be, if you like, the prototype of how we address all those issues that we normally now would disagree on, in some instances squabble on, in some instances counter protest about. So I think that it's not to raise that in a sense as one day in the year in which everybody becomes a supporter of St. Patrick or is going to dress up in green, but it's actually marking a new direction.
Yeah.
And that's where the theme of my year is that we is respect. Mm-hmm. And then we start to examine that in all its kind of concepts and context. Mm-hmm. I've mentioned in particular the centenary anniversaries coming up of the rising in Dublin and the First Battle of the Somme. And there's huge kind of, for me anyway, there's huge kind of relevance in the fact that within Nationalist Ireland there was just a general kind of amnesia about acknowledging that thousands upon thousands of people from Ireland, from all traditions, and then went off to fight in those battles and died. Fought very valiantly, forged relationships and friendships and sometimes very heroic and dire circumstances, only for those kind of relationships to be fractured when they returned home, where they, in a sense, went back to their respective camps. For Republicans, obviously the 100th anniversary of the Rising is hugely significant. But I'm asking Republicans to remember that civilians died that week.
Yeah.
And the British soldiers died that week. And that 100 years later, we should be able to look much more dispassionately. Whatever about the emotions that was released, people on the Union side feeling that it was an act of betrayal to strike at the Empire when they were involved in this tragic and deadly conflict on the European mainland. And Republicans and Nationalists reacting against the severity and maybe the savagery of the British government's response to the executions of the leaders. I think that's what fed the decision then. So even ordinary families that perhaps weren't politically active may have had family members who had gone off and fought in the British Army.
Yeah.
But that wasn't something that they felt they could kind of talk about.
Do you think that, obviously, when you were elected as the first Republican Speaker, that in the history of the Northern Ireland state of the Northern Assembly stroke Parliament, Do you feel that that puts an extra added for you? Do you think that puts an extra added onus on you to reach out and to be seen to be reaching out?
No, not an onus, but an opportunity. Definitely not an onus, because I've been doing it for 30 years. I've been involved in my party's efforts at forging dialogue, relationships, and developing those kind of networks to facilitate the peace process and to sustain the peace process at times when it was under quite immense pressure. What I'm actually celebrating in my speech this evening is the many, many decisions that have been made already, which have been, in a sense, it's like eating bread and forgotten, been taken for granted, and it happens every day. Sometimes small kind of agreements and pragmatic kind of solutions that the parties agree amongst themselves, but gets picked up in the media, understandably, are the big issues that have yet to be resolved.
Mm-hmm.
But countless decisions, which I regard as achievements, mm-hmm. have been established since the agreement in 1998, and they continue right up to the present moment. So, not an onus on me to do something now that I've never done before, but a far wider platform and influential position to be able to kind of prosecute that process that I've been involved in for three decades.
Just two final questions before I let you go. You talked in your remarks about respect, about the importance of political disagreements, but there is respect. Do you think that, from your vantage point of speaker, you have to keep 107 MLAs in order? Do you think that there is enough of that in the Assembly chamber, about enough actual respect of different political opinions?
No, I think this goes to the core of a wider problem. I mean, we have a society which has been conflicted and divided, mm-hmm. not necessarily since 1968, but from even before that. And I think that there would be some disappointment and frustration, you know, not just at government level, but throughout our society, that we haven't made more progress in terms of healing our society, healing those divisions, healing those hurts, perhaps more evidence of reconciliation than there is at the present time. But, be that as it may, I think that this Assembly does actually reflect those tensions and dynamics that is in our community. To that extent, they're very representative. And they reflect them in the chambers, what is actually the reality on the ground, and to be seen maybe most starkly at the interface areas, but I suspect in suburbia as well. So the question is, if we can actually forge a different way of working here in the Assembly, and I think there's the beginnings of that, which I hope to build on, that you don't always get your way. You can have democratic arguments in here. If the Speaker is doing his job properly, then the discussion mm-hmm. will bring us to a decision. Yeah. Hopefully, more often than not, on the basis of people accepting that there was a democratic outcome.
Yeah.
And in most circumstances, that is the case. Yeah. No party gets its way all of the time.
Yeah.
There are built-in kind of mechanisms which are deployed, but generally speaking, decisions are made either by consensus or by a vote, which is then accepted, and we move on.
Yeah, and just final question, is it your hope that obviously that the Northern Assembly could possibly lead by example in that regard, in terms of bringing people together and managing difficulties?
Well, as Speaker, that's where I can direct my energies, because I have some authority in that. But in fact, I think it's a two-way process. Where it starts, or who gives the first good example that is responded by. So if it's in the Assembly, so be it. If the opportunity presents itself, then why not? And if I can, staying within the remit of the Speaker's office, point towards, say, a consensual position, or at least a respectful difference of opinion, then that will be reflected in society. If the example comes from elsewhere in society, then I expect the Assembly mm-hmm. to respond to it as well.
Okay, Mr. Speaker, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.